This is the M6P with your host, Andy Kirby.
And Jared Mayo.
Different here being on video, Jared. I have to confess, I love looking at myself.
Well, you're not supposed to look at yourself. You're supposed to look at the other person.
Yeah, but how would you know if I'm...
I can tell where your eyes are. Up here. My eyes are up here. Yeah, we're just trying something a little different.
Yeah, give me the side view. How are you? Okay, look at this. Look at this. Look at... Do you see that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but yours is thicker. It might be lighter, but your hair's thicker.
How would we know? How would we know unless you release the golden locks, right?
Yeah. We'll just take my word for it. You've got a great head of hair.
Thank you. Thank you. So what's going on, man?
Dude, we thought, you know, we haven't recorded in a while, but we also have a YouTube channel. So why don't we put the audio on the podcast and just, if somebody wants to look at our beautiful faces during the podcast, we'll throw that up on YouTube and you can... Look at it. Look at our hairline. Otherwise, our podcasters just hear about the hair and they're like, what do they look like? I thought Andy was black for all we know, you know?
Yeah. Okay. All right. I want to set the record straight. If we're doing this YouTube thing, okay?
Yeah.
We're testing it. I know.
Yeah.
Do I look 300 pounds?
You look svelte.
I do look svelte. Yes.
You look good, man.
I've never been 300 pounds, okay? And look, I'll tell you this morning and yesterday, I drank my whey protein.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What flavor did you have?
I accidentally bought strawberry.
Oh, what were you going for?
I don't know. I don't even know whatever they have.
Well, then how is it an accident to buy strawberry?
Because I thought to myself, like, they had several, and I was like, not strawberry.
Come on in my cart.
It was online.
Oh, for like Black Friday stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Was
it,
sure.
Was it a deal or was it, you're not full price Andy, are you?
No, goodness. No, this was Amazon, and because Felicity's been on me about like, Dad, you really need to, you know, I was like, hey, I eat a yogurt and I do. And she was like, well, how many grams of protein is that?
I eat a yogurt.
It's 14. And she was like, you need X amount per your body weight, blah, 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 blah. Science, health, muscles, fitness, blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
Now tell everybody, why would she know that? She's just a girl.
So Felicity's my daughter, and she is going to school for exercise science. And there's only three things that she does in her life. Study, work, and work out.
Study, work, and work out.
That's it. That's all she does.
And get on her dad about 14 grams of protein.
Yeah, so she was like, you need, you know, 30 or 60 or what. I don't even know the number, but I drank it. But I mean, it doesn't help. In
You need 30 or 60 or something.
I don't know. You tell me, you know.
Yeah, usually you need about a gram per pound of weight.
Per day?
Yeah.
Wow.
So 300 grams.
That's 300 grams per day.
That's a lot of yogurt. Yeah. A lot of yogurt.
So, okay. So, but if that's a lot of yogurt. So like, what do I need to be doing though? Like, I can't just, okay. You were getting on me the last time I saw you face to face.
Right.
About losing muscle mass. And right. I was like, I've lost 200 pounds. I've lost weight. And you were like, Andy, you're losing muscle. You're not losing fat.
Yeah, you only feed the muscle that you want to keep. My father-in-law always said, only brush the teeth that you want to keep. And I took that and applied it to your muscles too, you know.
I brushed those muscles. What have you been up to? It's been a while since we recorded, you know, and like I think that it's been several months. We've had like a few weeks in a row, if I recall correctly, you know.
Of recording?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. But I don't know when that was.
Oh, I mean, that had to be in May.
Was it in May? That's wild. Yeah. I got to make sure all those episodes got posted.
Well,
Up on the website.
well, I got a new job in
You did.
August, and so that has been kicking my butt up and down. So that's kind of one of the main reasons why we haven't recorded. I had to take a trip to Africa. That was one of them too. So
Yeah, it's, I would say this is probably your fault.
I
Wouldn't you say? Because I'm always like, let's record. I've got all this time. We need to record. And you're always like, I'm so busy.
That's not how I remember it.
Oh, okay.
But as you can tell, I mean, I am getting older, so I don't know.
You and me, both of us.
You
But you got a birthday coming up in just a few days.
I do, and you had a birthday.
Yes. Turned 33. Yeah.
That doesn't say, I mean, you don't look a day over 35.
Okay. I'll take it. I'll take
Yeah.
it. You and Brad Allen, I know you haven't met each other, but you guys just, you look like you could be brothers. You just have great hair. You got these model looks. Just, yeah. Is that Andy or is that Brad? Who is that? We're having, go ahead.
I can't wait to meet this guy.
Well, I invited you over because we're having the M6P game day, and you're like, oh, you're 8 hours away.
These guys that come over, how far away do they live?
Yeah, right. I mean Brad is coming 2 hours, and the other two are less than an hour.
I thought Brad lived in England. Who's our listener that lived in England?
Charlie? No. Yeah. Ben.
Ben.
Ben was in Captain America, the First Avenger.
Yes,
Yes.
I remember the screenshot. I don't remember his name, but I remember the screenshot.
Ben. And we also had a big fan named Charlie. I haven't heard from Charlie in a while, but he lived over in England too.
Come on, Charlie. Come on,
What's up with
Charlie.
Charlie? I have to look him up.
So, what'd you do for your birthday?
What did I do for my birthday? See, once you hit 33, you start f to forget things.
Like your age?
Yes, that's one of them. What did we do? I think I went to Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, yes, you told me that. Yes.
Yes, I think that's what we did. See, I made a large purchase that of Marvel Legends Sentinels, and they are coming hopefully next week or the week after. So I shot. I'm shot for birthday and Christmas. That
Okay.
was what I got. So it was just some food.
How many sentinels? What are you talking about?
Six sentinels. You can't have one sentinel. When have you ever just seen one sentinel? Like all the X-Men get together to fight one sentinel. Said no comic book ever.
So
That'd be
wait a
just
minute. Are they
boring.
all the same or are they different?
Yeah, they're all the same, but they're based on the X-Men animated series, and those are my sentinels.
The 97 or 92?
Yeah, about the same, pretty much the same. But the Sentinels I ordered a couple years ago, those were based on the comic books, and I thought like that was it. We were never gonna get anything better. But I'm a cartoon guy
Yeah.
before I like it's just if I can have my whole collection look like the cartoon, that's what I want. So then when they were like, well, I know you may have bought these other Sentinels, which I bought four of, but now we're gonna release animated Sentinels.
How tall are
24, no, yeah, 24, 24, 26 inches, one or the other.
they?
So
Okay.
they'll be a nice size. I've already got a spot set up for them, attacking the X mansion, which my sister came and painted a dollhouse for me. And I'm gonna put the X-Men animated series figures with them fighting. It's gonna be bonkers, man. It's gonna be great.
Are you gonna post pictures?
Yes. If you check out our Facebook page, we've been posting a different reel of my collection every day. It's been good. We just hit 14,000 followers.
That's
It's been
amazing.
sweet.
That's amazing. I didn't know that many people were interested in your basement.
I know. Dude, think about it. You and I were just talking on these little cell phones, and I remember one day I was like, by the way, I started a Facebook page. And you're like, cool. What's Facebook?
That's still basically where I'm at right now.
What are you gonna do for you're a Christmas birthday.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
does your family lump them in together or do you get separate?
Jackie's very conscientious about that, so she tries very hard to separate it out. But I'm to the point in my life where she's like, "Well, what do you want to do for your birthday?" And I'm like, "What? Whatever you want to do, like whatever's low stress, whatever easiest." But I'm super easy to please. I just if my kids are all at home and we're all together laughing, that's all I care about.
Yeah, and that's the plan then, right?
I don't think there is a plan right now. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're
So,
all going to be home, aren't they?
oh, yes. Yeah. I think Deidre's boyfriend is coming the week after. Yeah.
Ooh.
So, yet again, this will be his third Christmas holiday with us, I believe. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Yep. They've been together a while.
Yeah.
They've been together a while.
That's serious, man.
Yeah. So, she's constantly telling us, like, well, we're gonna get married and we're gonna live here. We're gonna I'm like, she's like, it's okay, Dad. You love babies. I'm like, whoa, whoa,
Wow. At
like, I don't need to be a grandfather
33.
at 33, still doing an X-Men podcast,
Right.
right? Like, I mean, come on.
Yeah, but when do you stop? Is there an age when you just stop doing Marvel stuff?
No.
You know?
No. Now, I mean, like what we're going to talk about today and what we read for today, maybe there's some things that like didn't resonate with me and everything. But look, my life is crazy. It's a mile a minute, 100 miles a minute. I need something, right? I need
Yeah.
something that I can be like, no, this is fun, and not apologize for it.
Totally. All work and no play makes Andy a dull boy. Makes him Andrew is what it does.
No one needs that. No
No
one
way.
needs that. So I won't say who, but somebody did tell me when I got this job, this new job. Okay, so this new job, I can't really talk too much about it. I don't want to talk too much about it.
Yeah.
This new job is pretty high in this organization that I'm with, and somebody did approach me, and they were like, for this position, you might want to go by Andrew. And I was like,
No.
no. So it just wasn't, no. They were
How
like,
do you?
who did you hire? Andy? Andy? Yeah, I don't, I can't help what I was born named.
Well, but you weren't named Andy. Your birth certificate
Wow.
doesn't say Andy.
Wow, I guess I can't help it. I guess you're
Yeah,
right.
right.
What was I thinking this whole
Well,
time?
but what is the transition? Because lots of people are named Andy as kids, but then all of a sudden, then when they're a grown up, they're named Andrew. So how does that come about?
Yeah, in your teen years, you switch to Drew.
Drew. Okay.
Yeah. And then you like you're teen up to 25, and then when you hit 26, then it becomes Andrew. When you start wearing a tie. That's not a clip-on.
Did you have a Drew period in your life?
No, because I can't tie a tie.
I can't either.
I'm very bad at it, and I fake
Yeah.
it. Like how you're supposed to pull it. Like if you pull it. If you take the first one out and then you pull it, it's supposed to like not have a knot and just be blum, blum,
I'm not sure what kind of tie you're wearing, but
blum,
that makes that noise.
blum. Right?
Yeah.
The point is that I can't do that. So I just kind of just like okay, that looks like it.
Okay. Well,
Yeah.
then good. Andy it is. You'll stay Andy.
At least for now, till I, when I When I go to, I don't know if you have this tendency,
Yeah.
but I don't understand why restaurants now ask you for a name instead of just giving you a number. Like, there can be many Andys, there can be many Jareds that are standing there. And then, anyway, there's only one number 53.
True.
Nobody's gonna be like, hey, 53, and then like five people run up and grab your stuff, Like that doesn't, so I don't know if they're trying to make it more personal. And the thing that kills me is when they ask you your name and then they say, well, how do you spell that? What does it matter? What
Correct.
does it matter? You can just read whatever you wrote the same, and then I'll pick it up because I never read it. I never say, well, wait, how do you spell that? No, that's not me.
Right. You're
Yeah. So
totally right.
anyway, when I go, I always use a fake name. I always give them a fake name.
Well, you could, I mean, but Kirby would work. There aren't a lot of Kirbys.
That's not the point. No, they don't
Okay.
need my name. Yeah.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah. So I go by Steve or I go by Gibble.
Because who would be named Steve?
That's not the point. You're missing the point.
The point is that you're sticking it to the man. Is that what it is?
No, the point is, you said, did you ever have a Drew phase?
Okay.
No, but I have a Steve phase or a Gibble phase or something like that.
But one of your boys is named Steve. So then wouldn't your other be like, why don't you ever use my name, Daddy?
Steven is my middle name, and
Yeah.
on a lot of things that I sign up for online, I'll do Steve.
Okay.
So it's just that I can't help that I've been using that for years.
Right. I like my
Yeah.
middle name so much, I named one of my children that.
And then I named my other child, his middle name is my first name.
You don't have a son named Andrew?
Wesley Andrew.
Oh, sorry. I'm a little slow. You hit 33, the oxygen doesn't make it to the brain. You just wait, it's coming for you.
I can't wait till I'm 33.
Oh,
I tell you this, when you're going through passport control and immigration, it's very confusing with I'm Andrew Stephen, this is Stephen, this is Wesley Andrew, and you're trying to get all of the passports. Yeah, it's tough. It was not well thought out.
gosh, that's good. That's funny. I always
Did
say mayo, and they say, "What? Mayo." Because no one else is named May. Right, I'm signing it out to them.
I don't even know why.
Mayo.
I feel like visually this is not good. I don't like I don't I'm not sure if I like being recorded.
You're just doing sign language, right? M-A-Y-O.
I was, but for maybe that's not appropriate in this day and age. I really don't know.
I don't know. I don't know.
Did you, I sent you a game for your birthday. Have you played that yet? You can say no.
I have
Okay.
not. No, I actually thought that you already gave it to me because it looks so much like the game that you got me last year. Do you remember the game you got me last year?
No.
Well,
Did I?
it looks very similar. I'm like, oh, that Andy, he
Was it
bought me
this?
the same game. It
Is it
was
the
not.
same?
It is
Okay.
not. It is
What
not.
is? What's the game I got you last year?
Very similar to the game you got me this year in how it looks. I haven't played either of them yet, so I don't know.
You don't know the name of the first one? You don't
Marvel
know the
something.
name of the one I got you a couple weeks ago, do you?
I don't even know your name. I've been calling you Drew.
What are we doing tonight? What's tonight?
You and I are a little bit behind on current Marvel stuff. So we thought that we would do a bit of a retro recap, if you will, which happens to be the name of one of our series on YouTube, and take a look at Rick Remender's Uncanny X-Force issues 1 through 4.
All right, so wait, hold yours up. Wait
Now,
a
but
minute.
look, I have the complete collection. You just have the Weenie collection.
You know what? I went to my bookshelf to
Yeah.
figure out which one I had, and I have both.
Oh, you have the complete collection too?
I do, and I think
Ooh.
it's because you gave it to me.
Mic drop.
I know. So I have several of these.
I got several of these.
And now I do have them in digital format so I can look and kind of do this along here. So I'm going to do
Okay.
that as well.
Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, before we start recording, I was like, well, wait a minute. How come this isn't just Rick Remender and Opeña? It's
That
Leonardo.
yeah.
What's the dude's name? Manco. But you were like, no. That's the first day of the rest of your life. That's not in, that is that in yours or no?
Yes. And there's also Albuquerque on this title. Raphael Albuquerque. That's kind of a cool name. It's like San Francisco, but instead it's Albuquerque.
Okay. All
Yeah.
right. All right. So, what's well, before we get into this, I do have a couple questions. Are you reading anything current? Are you current on anything?
I'm a little bit behind on everything.
Okay. What are you trying to catch up on?
Because I'm mostly now, I've moved pretty far away from single issues
Yeah.
just into trades. And so those are always delayed. And I also usually, the story's been out for a few months before it gets collected in trade. So like I just started on Storm Volume 1, but there's already a Storm Volume 2 out. So,
Who's writing that?
why would you ask me that? Because I cannot pronounce this name.
Is it not right there on the cover?
Marua Ayodele.
Okay. Oh, she here. Whoa. That's interesting. I don't need to look at that.
About you? Are you current on Amazing Spider-Man? You seem to keep up with that.
I am probably 10 issues behind, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So I tell you, man, like I don't know when you read. When do you read? Like I get in bed and I try to read digitally and I end up hitting myself in the face with the iPad. And then that's when I know I gotta give it up.
I don't set enough time aside for me to read. I spend too much time on my phone when I should be reading.
Oh, all right. So what do you look at when you in your phone? Are you just scrolling? Like, what are we looking at here?
Facebook and Instagram, definitely. Those are my two big ones. I'm a news
Okay.
guy. I'm a cat video guy. I like Tina
Is that
stuff.
still really a genre? Cat videos?
Well, now with AI, the big thing is cats on the porch playing instruments, and people come and tell them that it's midnight, give me your banjo, or it's midnight, give me your trombone. And then there's cats that are taking orders at the restaurant and they're wrong, so the guy's yelling and the cat's yelling back at him. And there was one, a cat was like in a helicopter hat and he flew in, and it's so stupid. What? But I waste my time on it instead of reading Captain America comic books.
I think the majority of the world doesn't read those.
I know, but you've been to my house. I mean, I'm looking at my library right now. I am blessed. I need to spend more time in here instead of on this phone.
So you know what, the other night, you know what I did? I was trying to catch up and say, okay, well, you gave me that. I actually don't know the title of it, but it's the summary of all the Amazing Spider-Man, like the
Oh, the
summary.
official index, yeah.
Yes. So that's on my dresser. And so I kind of like leaf through that from time to time, trying to catch up and see, like, okay, well, like really catch up.
Yeah.
All of volume one, the 441 issues. And so what I've been doing though, for things that are not in there, for things that connect or that I wanted, I'll go to ChatGPT and I'll say, give me a summary of this issue from this year and everything. And it actually does a really good job. Yeah.
Do you cross-reference it to make sure it's correct?
I don't know, because most of the time I probably won't have that issue. So I wouldn't be able to do that.
Because I did the same. I read this and then I was like, ChatGPT, give me the highlights. And the highlights were wrong that it gave me. It had totally different horsemen listed. It had it as being three female horsemen and one male horseman, and like that is not in this issue at all. And I asked it about Storm the other week. Said, tell me what Storm was up to from 1995 to 2000. And it had her a part of Cyclops' Astonishing X-Men team, and she was fighting with the Brood. And I'm like, that never happened. And I was like, so I was letting it know. And it said, oh, thank you so much for correcting me.
That's crazy. So did you read what I sent you?
Didn't.
Okay. So I read the thing today, so we'll see how it kind of lines up here.
I should pull yours up though.
Yeah, man, come on. All right, so we are going to go through Uncanny X-Force. And this, can you give us a little bit of background about what's going on with the X-Men during this time? This was, if I believe, I'll try to buy time for you as you're looking, scrolling, trying
No,
to.
I'm good.
No, I'm trying to buy time for you.
You don't have to buy me any time. I know this was during Utopia. The Hope had just been born. Kitty was dealing with her stuff with the bullet and
Oh, that was going on at the same time. Okay.
they just started the X-Men, the third X-Men title with the vampires. Do you remember that? That was
Yes.
happening. This was the second iteration of X-Force that was off the books. Cyclops didn't know about this one.
Yes.
So
So who was on the team previously when Cyclops had the team? And I feel like that was right during Messiah Complex, right?
yeah, Messiah Complex. Well, Warpath was there, and Wolfsbane was on the team as well. I think, I can't remember, was X-23 a part of it? I think she was. I believe she was.
And so that was Cyclops, but now we have this off the books team, right? Okay. So this was around 2010, is that correct? So, and then the title relaunched in 2013 because I know I was looking back through my collection. I was like, yes, this is it. And I pulled it and it was, who
A
was it?
different one.
It might have been Humphreys writing it and it had Storm on the team and Bishop. And I was like, what is this? This is not. So that was during like all new Marvel or something like that.
Uncanny X-Force, yeah, with Storm. But then at the same time, Cable had an X-Force team too, with
Oh,
Colossus and Domino and
yes.
Forge. And then, yeah, the random Storm team with Puck and Spiral.
Yep.
So strange.
Yep, that's when things started to unravel. All right, man. Well, how do you want to tackle this?
So we've got Uncanny X-Force, like we already said. Wolverine's got the team off Cyclops's radar. They're in a mountain that Archangel has set up because his wealth knows no bounds. He's got some sweet artifacts in there.
I have a mountain. I have a mountain. I have a half a sentinel's head, and I have all this artwork on the wall.
Right. That's what I would have loved in an issue, like a tour of Archangel's mountain. I like that kind of stuff.
Yes. There was a picture. There was a picture in this issue of Wolverine and Nightcrawler in a baseball uniform on the wall, on like mounted on the wall, framed. Did you see that?
I saw the picture of the whole team that he had saved, and it was not correct, continuity wise. There was because I think Thunderbird was in it, and there was somebody else that was in that picture that never, of course, I can't find it right now while we're live on here. Here it is. Oh, Phoenix. Phoenix and Thunderbird are in the same picture. Thunderbird had already died before Jean ever became Phoenix. So this is AI, folks.
It's AI. Yep. That's what we had back then. Yep.
So he's operating off the grid, and they find out that Clan Akaba, is that how you say it? Clan Akaba?
Akaba.
Akaba? Clan Akaba is trying to bring Apocalypse back. So they need to stop that from happening. I think that's probably the gist of the setup for what they're doing.
So basically, it's an off-the-books team. Cyclops doesn't know about it. This whole team is set up to do the hard stuff, right? To make the hard calls, to execute. That's kind of where we're entering. So we have this kind of a small vignette story leading up to it, the first day of the rest of your life. And so we see the team, and it's Psylocke and Archangel and Deadpool and Phantom X and Wolverine. I don't think I left anybody out. So it's kind of Phantom X and Wolverine kind of talking. They're in the EVA or EVA. How do you say that?
I say Eva.
EVA, okay, which is the outside nervous system of Phantom X that they travel in, right?
Makes sense. Seems legit because AI would be one step too far for a picture, but this is okay.
So they're talking, and they're kind of doing the setup, and Angel and Psylocke are there, and they're eating delicious sandwiches, and you're kind of setting up and seeing that Deadpool is not with the rest of the team. Deadpool is off somewhere in Egypt, and he is kind of hunting down a lead, the Archangel that Warren sent him on, to find what's going on. We hear some rumblings. Is Apocalypse coming back? Now, Jared, the historian, why would Warren care about Apocalypse?
Well, because Apocalypse made him into Archangel. His wings were ripped off during the Mutant Massacre, and Apocalypse is the one that put him back together, but put him back together in an evil way. So he was one of Apocalypse's horsemen, Death.
And how long, how did he escape that?
How did he escape being Death?
How did he, how did he escape being one of the horsemen?
I think he just kind of came to his senses, didn't he?
Like,
Like,
come on, I can't do this. This isn't who I am.
thought so, but he always had battled it, and then different things had happened throughout the course of time. Like he got back together with X Factor and kind of figured things out, but then all of a sudden his metal wings molted, and then he just had feather wings again. And it was kind of always it was like Apocalypse was always lurking below the surface of Warren.
Yeah, and we see that in this issue. So let me read the summary of this issue, and then we'll talk about this first issue and see how it goes from there. Sound good? All right. So X-Force, Uncanny X-Force number 1, 2010, written by Rick Remender and Jerome Opeña. It kicks off a dark and morally complex era for the mutant Black Ops team. All right, very quickly, following the disbandment of Cyclops' previous X-Force, Wolverine secretly reforms a new covert team to handle threats before they escalate using lethal force if necessary. The new lineup includes Wolverine, Archangel, Psylocke, Deadpool, and Phantom X. Their mission is to operate in the shadows unseen even by other X-Men, and taking on the most dangerous assignments to protect mutant kind. Early in the issue, Archangel struggles with his darker alter ego, the violent persona left behind by Apocalypse's influence, while Psylocke tries to ground him emotionally. So they're dating, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I like them as a couple.
You do?
Yeah, do you?
I feel like, yeah, because I think it adds some dimension to both of them a little bit more. I don't know about you, but like they're both like peripheral characters. To me, they're not your central characters. They're not Nightcrawler. They're not Wolverine. They're not Jean. They're not Scott. They're not Rogue. They're not Gambit. So I
Or
know that
Storm.
who
I'm going to close my computer now. The
the Wind Rider. Yeah. So they're not any of those central characters, even though they've been around for a long time. I mean, Warren was in issue one, right?
One of the originals.
Yep. So I do think it adds some dimensionality to both of them. And then it also gives them the ability to kind of play off of each other and dig into their persona. I do like that he's struggling the whole time with this Archangel persona and how, like, have we seen that in the recent comics within this era? Going back to Messiah Complex, it really kind of is just like, no, he can transform and but he's in complete control. But really, we're diving in here and he's not in complete control. He has to keep it at bay, right?
We saw it coming. We saw it bubbling up.
Yeah.
Also, Psylocke and Warren go together well because they're both rich, like aristocrats. They can understand it. Like Beast isn't rich. Psylocke isn't going to date him. Storm, Wolverine, and I think they just see each other at a different level that kind of makes sense to them.
That makes sense to me. Yeah.
He has blue skin. She has purple hair too. You got some color mixed in there. But Warren.
Phantom X and Deadpool add tension and unpredictability to the group dynamic. Wolverine leads the team with grim resolve, believing that someone has to get their hands dirty in order to ensure survival of mutant kind. Okay, so the issue's central twist here comes when X-Force discovers that Apocalypse has been resurrected. But this time in the body of a young child. Dun dun dun. What were we doing? What were we thinking? Okay, so the team's mission becomes clear: assassinate the reincarnated Apocalypse before he can grow up to be the mutant tyrant and destroy the world. The ethical and emotional stakes of killing a child set the tone for the entire series, exploring the questions of morality, destiny, and the cost of doing what's necessary. So really, this is a new series that Remender wrote. Now, Remender had just come off of Frankenpunisher, if I remember
They
correctly.
can't all be hits.
This one was a swing and a miss. It was terrible. So, for any Punisher fan out there. But this was very interesting. So, I have questions for you about the art, the plotting, the scripting. I actually have questions about what you think about the lettering in this.
Oh, I didn't look at the lettering.
I never even saw that. What do you think? What do you think about the art in this arc? Let's do the whole arc, right? So basically, to summarize the entire arc, they go in and they're fighting the final horsemen. So we have death, famine, pestilence, and war. And these are not characters that we've seen before, right? There are titles that we've seen before, but not these particular characters. And the team is going in and they're trying to infiltrate and kill Apocalypse. So the whole plan is to get into ship, right? Which we're familiar with. Apocalypse's ship that Akaba is now running and ruling. And then once they get in, and it keeps jumping from place to place, and they like go to the moon and everything. Once they get in, they're trying to get past the guards and they're trying to kill Apocalypse. Now, we know as the reader that Apocalypse is the child because it's revealed in the last page of issue one, but they don't know until I think issue three.
Yeah, three or four.
Yeah. So, what are your thoughts on, first of all, the art? Because you're the art guy.
So it's dark because, but I think it makes sense to go with Todd Knock probably wouldn't it would look very different if Todd drew this, you know? Mark
Yes.
Bagley, if he drew this. I'm trying to think of
Yes.
like some lighter kind of artist. It would look very different. And for I it makes sense for this to be a dark book. It's about murdering a child. It's a group of murdering X-Men anyways. It fits. It's not necessarily my style, but it fits. It's gritty. It's almost like a Lionel Yu. It
Yeah.
kind of reminds me a little bit of him.
Lionel Francis, you.
I knew I was missing. I knew he had three names. So when he has to get a reservation, he can pick three different things.
Any
So,
of them. Yeah, that's my taco. Because
yeah,
I'm Francis.
that's my taco. What about you?
I like this. I do think that the art fits the tone very well. It is kind of like there's a kind of an almost parental advisory type thing going on here because it is a
Yeah.
little bit gruesome, you know, and I think they play to that with the with the healing factors, with Wolverine's healing factor, with Deadpool's healing factor, and I think Phantom X might have a healing factor also, right?
Well, of course, yes.
Of course, who doesn't? Who doesn't?
Psylocke, loser.
But they definitely, with Pestilence and with War and Famine, are going in there and trying to make as much of a mess artistically as possible. I like their costumes. I like that it's like that monochromatic, if you look
Yeah.
here, right? So you can see all the grays and black and white, basically. I really think that that's fitting for what they're trying to do. Everything is morally and emotionally black and white there. And that's where they say, well, wait a minute. Like at the very end, I didn't know he was a kid. Now it introduces this gray. Their mission was very clear cut. Like, we have to protect mutant kind. We can't let Scott and all the rainbow colors of like, how do we do this? And what is our personality as far as communicating with the rest of the world and integrating with the rest of the world? This is the dark, this is the black and white. This is like, we have to do this, we can't do this. And then when they're faced with the child, Apocalypse, then all of a sudden everything turns gray, and each of them has a moral quandary that it goes through that they wrestle with. Say, wait a minute, we have to kill this child. We don't want to kill this child, but we have to kill this child because inside of him, he will become Apocalypse. So then also there's that nature versus nurture too, so that we can talk about that. But I do think that this art is pretty cool. It is gory, it is bloody, it is a little bit gruesome. Again, with the healing factors. And you said it's not your cup of tea.
But I'm not, I don't hate it though. It's not, there's some art that I despise and I won't read because the art's so terrible. And this is definitely not one of them.
So what do you dislike about, like, what is it about this that you're like, well, if it was a little bit more this way, I would have liked it more?
So I think the coloring and how it goes with the art, I'm a cartoon guy. So give me
Yeah.
the bright, flashy reds and yellows, and everything in here is pretty mute. Even when we get to some of the reds in some of the horsemen, it's a dull red. It's a dull pink. These blues are not bright blues, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That added to with the art. I think like even just looking at Psylocke, she's drawn realistically, and I like my superheroes drawn like superheroes. You know, everything is accentuated and it isn't being a perv. It's the same with the guys. None of the guys in here are like jacked out of their mind. You know, they're fit.
And you're saying they should be.
Yeah. They're fit and she's fit. But yeah, I guess I like a classic color palette. I like a classic look to all my stuff. I mean, you got to think when we got into books, Jim Lee, Andy and Adam Kubert,
Yeah.
those were the people, those were the arts that I was first exposed to,
Yeah.
and then X-Men the Animated Series. So no matter what, those will always be my home. Those are my favorites. So when you dovetail off my bright palette and my over-accentuated shoulder muscles, like it's good, but it's just not my favorite.
So you like that
No, I do like
Liefeld? You took a pause. You were like, I'm a little offended.
I was a little past him. He had already left. But
Oh,
like
that's yeah.
Joe Madureira, he then took that and accentuated it even more. The
Yeah.
shoulders were really jacked and the colors were really bright. And see, he's probably my favorite artist for that reason.
So I'm looking at the art here, and really you're right. Like the people are drawn in such a way that they're like slim straight down, and there is like more straighter lines for the body, and it's not these curved muscles, and it's not not proportions. You know what I mean? It really is a I'm looking at Warren, I'm looking at Betsy, and nobody looks particularly attractive either. Everybody's got these things that I have. Everybody has, like everybody's got all this stuff, and they got these
Gritty.
specks and drool and grit and everything.
Yeah.
Obviously that's for the tone. And when they're looking for a book and they're looking for a writer, they match the writer with the artist, and that's what the editor is trying to do. So what did you think about the pacing of this, or at least the scripting?
I was good with it. I wasn't. I mean, there were definitely parts I don't care. Like, I don't care for the whole Phantom X stuff flying around in his nervous system. It kind of pulls me out of. Okay, I know that it is preposterous that you walk by a statue and it turns out to be, a 5,000-year-old horseman. That, yeah, I get it. That's not as preposterous to me as your nervous system flying us all around.
To me, that doesn't like I can get away from that and just be like, okay, it's their ship. That's fine. And their ship can get bigger or smaller. It's fine.
Yeah, the I think the pacing was fine. It set up things that for drama. There were definitely quiet beats, especially between Archangel and Psylocke in kind of building up to what was going to happen. There were a couple of really good fights, and I love me a good fight. 22 pages of just fighting is ideal for me too. So I was fine with it. Ended on a nice cliffhanger. Issue one was also a huge surprise. Oh, it's a child. I was expecting like blue lips and tendrils hanging off
Yes, the pipes.
the
Yeah.
pipes.
So when you were reading this, when's the last time you read this?
Probably originally when it came out.
Yeah, right.
But
Me too.
it was one that sticks in your head, and that's why we went back to it.
Yeah. So we're probably going to be doing this as we record. We're going to go back through some of the story arcs that stick in our head and reread them. So that means it's been like 15 years.
That's crazy because this seems like a modern book to me.
Yes.
You
That's what I was thinking, But then I started thinking about it like, no, he doesn't he show up in Wolverine and the X-Men and Wolverine and or Wolverine school, school like Kid Genesis, right?
Yeah.
So, and thinking about that, at the end of these four issues, spoiler, the kid gets shot in the head. And so like I actually forgot that. So I'm reading it. And I'm like, okay, so what are they gonna do? I understand. And now all of a sudden Betsy's gonna like protect this kid, and she's even threatening Warren's life to protect this kid. And that's like a weird moral quandary too. Like, do I fight the person I love, knowing that there's evil inside of him, but knowing that there's also evil inside of this kid? And do I think that we can train this kid enough? And do I kill the person I love to protect the person that maybe? And then all of a sudden, finally, Warren is like, I can't do it. I can't do it. And everybody's like, we get it. You can't. And then Phantom X just shoots the kid in the head. And he's like, yeah. But at the end, what does he do though? He closes his eyes, right? So Phantom X goes and closes in, how do you say it? En Sabanur?
Oh, I thought you were going to say end scene. Yes. End
And
Sabanor.
Sevenor, he closes his eyes, meaning like he had some sort of respect or something that he wanted to make sure that he was okay. And then they had to hightail it out of there. And that's pretty much where it ends, right? It is kind of a cliffhanger, but even though that's this story arc is only four issues, right?
Yeah.
So, like, what do you think about the characters that they chose to be on this team?
Yeah, I mean, they picked him for. I hate Deadpool. I don't like him. He doesn't fit. We could have had this without. I think Warpath would have been great to put there instead, or anybody. I don't like Deadpool.
I like Warpath. I like him in Brubaker's run. I always talk
Yes.
about it, the rise and fall of the Shi'ar Empire. I love that.
Yes.
But I thought Deadpool did well in this.
Yeah.
You didn't think so? Did it
He
take you
takes
out of the story?
every time, every single time. When you have a tent with your mask on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're singing songs, pop culture songs, when literally apocalypse is right beside you and there's a lady shooting bees out of her mouth and you're singing Hooked on a Feeling or whatever song he was singing. I'm out. It's really hard.
Do you think you could have had like a crazy, like a different character who's kind of crazy like that, but not doing pop culture references that would have made it make more sense?
Yeah, who are you thinking?
I mean, obviously, slapstick. No, I'm just
That's
joking.
who I was thinking. Like, oh. No, it could have probably just been a team of four or somebody
Okay.
like a Warpath. You a Domino. Domino could have worked.
Oh, that is,
A Shatterstar would have been sweet.
That's true. I could do that. Yeah.
And I've never liked Phantom X. He's necessary for this story, and he moves things along, and it makes more sense to have him. But he's always seemed very plot device kind of character, bland for me. And
Yeah.
then when they split him into three people,
Oh
I
yeah.
was really done by that
Yes.
time.
So he's a creation of Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely, right?
Yep, the Weapon
So
Plus program.
yeah, and so what's his background? Do you remember?
Yeah, he was created in the Weapon Plus program and raised in, I think it's called the World.
Yes. Yeah.
It raised and even just to try and comprehend how that all works gives me a headache.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you liked Deadpool. You wouldn't have replaced him.
I see what you're saying about those two things specifically, like the pop culture references, the tent. I think like having somebody who is off kilter helps with the story of just saying like, where is this dude's moral compass? Because you have all these people that like their moral compass is like, no, we have to get this done, but this guy's unpredictable. And so that's why, like, when they're about to go in, somebody asked Warren, I think it was Logan, asked Warren, hey, do you still have the paralyzing on your wings? And they said, yeah. And then he did that to Deadpool so that he couldn't move because they just didn't want this wild card there, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it adds an element of like, okay, so what are we going to do? This is not predictable type of thing. And so I don't think that that's bad. I kind of like that. It could have been done a better way, but I thought throughout this whole thing, actually, the plot is good, the story is good, it's very engaging, but the scripting is tough. So the back and forth between and the repartee between the characters, I was like, oh wow, this is not what I remembered. This is tough to get through. It's the story's a little bit deeper, but there's a gap between the words and what is the dialogue, what's being said, and the underlying themes of the book. And I think you get the themes, you don't get the themes from what is being said. Like the only theme that you get is battling your inner demon because of Warren and like, oh, I know he's creeping below the surface. Oh, I have to let him out. Oh, I got to control him. But everything else is just so elementary, It's you're making the connection because you're seeing visually what the story is doing.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So I don't know if I would say that Remender's a talented writer. I'm trying to think of his other stuff that I've read. And I can't think of anything. I think maybe he did like Agent Venom, maybe.
Oh yeah, he did. He did do Agent Venom.
Okay. So I remember liking that, but I would love to see this team be written by like Greg Rucka.
You know, the verbiage, the way that they talk with each other is definitely a product of Brian Michael Bendis' zization. You know, there's a lot of snark.
Yeah.
I don't really care for that. I don't like it when everyone is sarcastic.
Right.
Like, they have very distinct looks, they have distinct personalities. They don't, yeah, I don't see them like that. Like, even being written off and how Deadpool and Wolverine made that gamble with each other, and
Yeah.
then Wolverine knows all this knowledge about this 2,000-year-old wine from Henry the Eighth or something like that.
Cognac, and it was Phantom X. It was not
Okay,
Deadpool. Come on.
whatever.
Come on,
I don't
man.
know what's going on. Yeah. So, well, what would you? I mean, do you have more to talk about this?
Well, I was going to ask you, was there something that stuck out that you were like, this is amazing? And then something that stuck out that you were like, this is awful.
Yeah, the amazing part, I think, when you end the two endings of issue one and four, no one was expect even when I read this live in 2010, Apocalypse is one of my favorite bad guys. So we got this cool team with knives and swords that's gonna kill Apocalypse. It's a kid. What? I wasn't expecting that. Oh my gosh, they shot him in the head. I guess the series is over. They looking forward, they just ran it into the ground, unfortunately. And Kid Genesis became like a nice guy, and I mean, he's a kid and he's at a school. Like, no, this is Apocalypse. His name alone should strike fear in every child in America. But for this self-contained story, those two parts were just baller. They're
And what
great.
was the worst thing besides the Deadpool tent?
Well, I think probably the Deadpool part. He was not necessary for me. Yeah. And what about you? What's your rose and thorn?
Is that what this is? I really had a hard time. Like, I want to like Phantom X. I've always thought like he could be cool, but I have not seen it. And so I've always been like, he's almost there. Like, he's got a cool costume. He's kind of the thief. He's like, he is like that devil may care, like what's he gonna do thing. But they never, it's so surfacey. It's so surfacey. There's nothing there. His backstory is like, it's completely comic book, and there's nothing to care about. I actually cared way more about Warren in this story than I've cared about him in any other story. I liked how they talked about like losing Nightcrawler. No.
Yeah, he died in Messiah Complex.
Okay.
The Bastion's arm went right through him.
Yeah. Is it in you, right? Or something like that? Isn't that our
Yeah, he
Tina
lives in you.
song?
He lives in you.
He lives in you. I love that. Oh, the memories. I think the coolest thing, I think you're gonna, I mean, I agree with you, is when they shot him. Like, that to me is the coolest thing. Not necessarily even the reveal, because I knew that probably the first time I read it, that was cool. But when they killed him, because they convinced me, actually, as I read it, they convinced me that I remembered wrong. That I was like, oh, they let him live. I didn't remember that, but it makes sense because I know he shows up later. And then all of a sudden they kill him, and I was like, I totally forgot that. Like, that's crazy. I also think this is gimmicky, and I know you don't like this, but I also think a cool part is when Deadpool is feeding Warren pieces of his own. I
Yeah.
thought that was cool.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know if I can be your friend.
Did they do that on the mission field?
I mean, you gotta do what you
Yeah. All right.
gotta do. So what happens after this story? Do you remember what the rest of Uncanny X-Force is?
Well, I mean, I know that they go on to take out some others like Lady Deathstrike but it turns out Phantom X is also cloning Apocalypse. And plan and Clan Akaba is also cloning their version of Apocalypse. So that stuff happens. We get Nightcrawler from Age of Apocalypse shows up, and Dark Beast, and that's just volume one. Yeah,
So
they go to Australia.
they have the Dark Angel saga, right?
They do. I forgot. How did I even forget about that? Yeah,
That's like the main thing, right?
it is. Yes, the Dark Angel saga is next.
So what happens in the Dark Angel saga?
Well, I mean, he becomes Apocalypse. He takes on the mantle of he gives in to that, and there's an Apocalypse seed, and ultimately Warren loses his life and is kind of reborn as some kind of hippie, long-haired, blonde Warren, and joins the Wolverine and the X-Men crew.
So what would you say about this series? Like, so we read the first story arc, but what would you say about the series? Is it one of those things that's like, oh, this was good, it's worth my time to read it again, I would pick it back up? Did it pique your interest enough to keep reading the following arcs, or
Oh
did you really?
yeah, I want to keep going. Definitely, it's like a self-contained almost, but has huge ramifications at the same time. You don't need to know what was happening in X Factor and Uncanny X-Men to be able to figure out what's happening here. But then you can see the offshoots of what Phantom X and Psylocke's decisions are, because they're reverberated in other titles, and you see Angel moving on to Wolverine and the X-Men, and I mean, it brings in the whole Age of Apocalypse, which has some tie-ins to a couple other titles. So what about you? Are you gonna read issue five?
I think it I was intrigued. I was like, now I don't remember where this goes, because I thought he lived and now they killed him. And I forgot that it ended right there. And they jumped in and then they just don't talk to each other. They're like, and so I think, it would be go back to my bookcase and get my figure out which trade it's in. And do that. There are some that I go back to, and there are some that I think to myself, even if I'm not going to go back, I want to own that one. I want to, when my kids get old enough, which is crazy, when my boys get old enough to say, hey, I want to be able to pick this up. What's a good one? I want them to go to any one on my bookshelf and be like, yeah, this was a good one, And so I do think that this is cool. I can't remember if Opeña stays throughout the entire arc. Or the series. Do you know?
I'm gonna look at. Oh, I don't think he says the whole series. No, we got Mark Brooks in here, Billy Tan, Robbie Rodriguez, Esad Ribic. So yeah, I've just got Jerome Opeña issues 1 through 4 and 14 through 18.
Okay.
At least for Complete Collection Volume 1. I can.
As Assad Rabik makes sense for this series for sure.
I grabbed it. I grabbed Volume 2. Let me just take a look. Dave Williams. Oh, Jerome comes back for it looks like two back issues. Phil Noto.
Oh, I like him, yeah.
Yeah. Billy Tan. Greg Toccini. Julian Totino.
A
And
lot of
Dean
people,
Williams.
I don't know a lot of those names.
I don't.
I always wonder about these guys, like the artists. They do a few issues and then you never hear from them again. What are they doing? Like, did they give up on art? There's one, I don't know if it's Lupacino. I can't remember, but there was a female, a girl who did X Factor. And who I thought she did an amazing job. And now I don't see her name. Maybe I'm not looking in the right places, but.
Yeah, I think the first few volumes of X-Force, it looks like we're a little bit more memorable than the last few.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Is there anything else you want to talk about, man?
Well, I'm looking forward to the next episode with you.
I am too.
That'll
We
be
got to make
good.
this happen.
What will it be?
I don't know. Should we? I mean, we could continue here. We could come back to here, or we could do a solo. You know me. I love the street level
Yeah.
guys. You know,
Andy in the streets.
Andy. I grew up on the streets. A
That's
street.
right.
I grew up on
That's
A
right.
street.
If you want to know, you'll have to check us out,
Yeah,
find
because
out.
I don't know the next one yet. No, we'll have to decide. So that's cool, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess, I mean, is there anything else you want to say that you want to give our contact information, our socials?
Yeah, check us out on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Just do a search for the M6P. And you'll find us. Also, them6p.com.
Yep. You can email us at m6plc@gmail.com or marvel616politics@gmail.com. We still got that going on after all these years. I still renew that all the time. And you can leave a voicemail, right?
Yeah, and give us a
616-755 Tina, TINA. So that's 616-755-8462. I'm just looking right here. It's right there. All right, man. Hey, it's great talking to you.
Dude, you too, always.
All right, we'll have to get together again. So until next time, this is the M6P.